call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
Of America Tonight or the Wacky Wacky World. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. Only I'm not at the mothership or at the satellite facility in Texas. I'm in Washington, D.C., wondering if anything ever gets done in D.C. In all honesty, actually coming to D.C. to talk about health care, because if one of the Republicans, who ultimately will be narrowed down to one after the primary season, theoretically, perhaps in the spring, perhaps after these next couple of primaries, and the Republican candidate does not win, health care is implemented in pieces, and where do we go from here? 2014, what is it going to look like? Coming up this hour, we've got a couple of great interviews talking about, one, poverty, and the what we've seen now with poverty, in what direction we're headed, and the actual push to try to break that cycle, that there's really a push to get people back to work. But guess what? They need jobs. Oh, it's that job thing that always gets us. So we've got that, and plus we're going to have a conversation with Eleanor Cliff from Newsweek in the McLaughlin Hour. She usually plays the part of the opposite of the Republicans, you know, or the conservatives that come through on that show. She's the foil, if you will, on PBS and probably in her writings on Newsweek. But she admits to some serious Democratic failings when it comes to administering health care and a slew of other things that the Democrats just have not done well. It was a day for wildness on the Republican side of things. So the day starts off with Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, who's been in this race now for a while, deciding that he would bail, that he was gone, that he was done, that he realized he needed to go back to Texas. And then throwing his support the way of Newt Gingrich, who had a day where he was defending himself and kind of just trying to distance himself from a little bit of controversy, not distancing himself because he wouldn't answer the question, but because I think he was sick of being bombarded by the question. It was a real bombshell that dropped on his head, and it was his ex-wife, Marianne, who talked to ABC, and she said that after 8 years of marriage, he wanted an open marriage, that he was fooling around with his current wife, Calista, and he said she didn't care if they had an open marriage. So the Gingrich camp basically just denied it, and Newt Gingrich himself did, and he said he didn't want to attack her, and that he didn't want to go into it, and that it was despicable that it was brought up on, oh, yes, the debate, the last debate, because there were two in South Carolina. But the candidates have really narrowed, because one podium less was put on the back of the truck. Now there are four. There's Ron Paul, who had a loud and proud crowd in South Carolina. Some people think that he has a good chance to win it. And then there's, of course, Mitt Romney, the candidate that is being served up to everybody, whether they want Mitt Romney or not. Newt Gingrich, as I just mentioned, and the former Speaker of the House, and Rick Santorum, a former senator, who has a long list of things that he has voted for that he doesn't necessarily want to talk about, but in touting the highlights of his career, he's certainly the one person who is, I think, one of the more conservative people. He stuck to his pro-life stance and never wavered on that. And he hasn't wavered on a few other things, too. However, there are plenty of people in Pennsylvania that will tell you things that they didn't like that Rick Santorum did, which is part of the reason in the last election cycle he was not re-elected. But now he finds himself among four candidates. It was a very strange Thursday. Very strange. not what was probably predicted. But it's been a reality show in a certain sense all the way through. Maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. Herman Cain, as I also predicted, although you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to predict this, probably many of you would have said the same thing. You know, what happens to Herman Cain? He does not go away because he's gone away from the campaign. In fact, he's softer more now than ever. People asking him to speak and all kinds of things. He does a Fox appearance, so he's getting plenty of airtime, even though he's not running for president. Herman Cain talked about this, taking power back, and who he's actually going to endorse this time around.
My unconventional endorsement is the people. We, the people of this nation, are still in charge. That's who I'm endorsing. We are the ones that are going to have to lead this revolution. We are the ones who are going to be able to take our power back.
All right. You heard Herman Cain. I think some people were expecting that he would endorse somebody, but he's not endorsing anyone. In fact, it's the opposite. He's talking about all of us. He's talking about the people and that the people need to stand up for themselves. And that's nothing new to many of you, as you are pretty active calling congresspeople and senators and whatnot. And I would say to you, bravo, and keep it up, because that's the thing to do. The pressure points. Keep attacking the pressure points, and eventually we'll all be successful. Now, a sad story also came out about Sarah Burke from Canada, who is a freestyle skier. And she, I wanted you to hear a little clip of her at the Winter Games. We had Sarah Burke on the show once for a few minutes, and quite a delightful person just in that short time, you could tell. But here's a clip of her in the Winter Games, and then afterwards talking about the dangers of Superpipe.
Now look for Sarah to get inverted down here. There's player number one on the feet. She's got another one in her. Player number two, she's just got to finish it off at this point. The Cork 720, Sarah Burke, sets the new standard.
You learn how to crash. You wear helmets. You wear padding. You wear, you know, you do what you got to do, but you kind of learn along the way how to handle it.
Wow. You learn how to handle it. Certainly she knew, and she said there in that statement, that it was a dangerous sport, without a doubt. But that you just wore the padding and you did what you had to do. And in Utah, she had a crash. And unfortunately, from the injury she sustained in that crash, she died. She's 29 years old. It was one of those fluke things. And as anybody in a speed sport like that knows, there are freak accidents and there are things that happen that they can't control. If there's too much ice or there's not enough snowpack or, you know, whatever it might be. And they're looking into that a little bit further to see if they can come up with some hardcore reasons. But very sad to read about that and hear that happening to Sarah, such a good sport to go on with so many people who talk about the games and her sport. Wow. Coming up, we got the cheap movie review.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com, your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
It's funny, huh, man? Only thinks about the... You got a real big heart, but I'm looking at you. You got real big brains, but I'm looking at you. Girl, it ain't no pain.
So here's the truth, guys. You're going to spend Sunday watching football. You might want to take your lady friend to the movies. And there's actually some good movies out. In fact, I would say that every single one of the movies I'm going to tell you about in our cheap movie review, I would go and see. I would go and see these movies. Now, I might go for a matinee, but I would go and see it. Or at least I would mark it down as something that I would watch when it came out on DVD. Remember, there's always that cool thing, Redbox, where it costs you like $1.70 or something like that by the time you turn it back in, but under $2. And that's a pretty good deal because you have to wait for those movies to come out. All right, this is a highly anticipated movie for a couple of different reasons. Because you're reliving the tragedy of 9/11 in the sense that it was supposed to be created in the spirit of hope. So will that chase people away from theaters or send them flocking to it? Plus, it stars Tom Hanks and Sandra Bullock. Take a listen to Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
My dad said the way I saw the world was a gift, that I was different than everyone else. A great game we'd play was Reconnaissance Expedition. He told me to bring back something from every decade in the 20th century. I found something from every decade.
Already? You rock.
Are you there? about him.
I miss his voice. I miss his voice telling me he loves me.
Me too. After he died, I found this key in my dad's closet. How can I find the lock that it fits? What's it got to do with my dad?
I told you I didn't know anything about your father.
Finding what this key fits would be a miracle. He must have wanted me to find something. What does it open? So many people will enter and leave your life. Dad said, you can't be afraid. Sometimes we have to face our fears.
I'm right here if you need me.
All right, well, you can tell it's a young boy struggling with the loss of his father, and some pretty big actors attached to this. It's the first film, there have been others, but it's the first film to really dive deep and explore that relationship between a kid and a parent that was lost in one of the Twin Towers on 9/11. The next movie, completely opposite of that, is called Haywire. Take a listen. Haywire, obviously you've got some big stars in this one too, Antonio Banderas and Michael Douglas to name a few, and somebody's going to get in trouble because somebody outed somebody. This movie is, and I like the way that looks, I think that'd be a good rental, but I don't know that I'd pony up the $10 or $9 or however much it costs to go to a first run movie. This movie looks to be pretty good too. And it's produced by George Lucas. There's been a lot of buzz over it. It's called Red Tails. If you remember and listen and remember back in your mind to Alabama and LSU in the championship game, Nick Saban quoted a line from the movie and talked about taking his team to see the movie. Take a listen.
Bandits! Hundreds of them! 6 o'clock!
Got German markings.
Let's get them! Where are the damn fighters going? Is there anything left of our escort? Mayday! Mayday! Prepare to bail out!
Our boys are getting cut to shreds.
I need pilots who will put the bombers ahead of themselves.
When we came under your command, Colonel, you stated very clearly that we would never find Negroes who could pass a pilot's exam, make it through flight school, survive basic combat. We've done all of that.
I don't believe your boys have scored a single aerial kill.
It's damn hard to shoot down the enemy 100 miles behind the front lines.
what we do, how well we do it. Does it matter?
And you all thought what?
You'd sign up, and that'd be the end of 100 years of bigotry. Get your head up, son. You're fighter pilots.
We have a right to fight for our country, the same as every other American. We will not go away.
I can't afford the kind of losses my bombers have been suffering.
Can you help save lives?
If you get us new planes, we can help your boys.
Nothing's difficult.
Everything's a challenge.
Through adversity to the stars.
From the last plane to the last bullet to the last minute to the last man, we fight.
We fight.
We fight.
We fight.
We fight.
We fight.
At all costs, we protect the heavens.
Fighters, 4 o'clock, stay with the bombers.
One bomber, that's 10 men. We count our victories by the bombers we get to their targets. By the husbands we return to their wives. By the fathers we get back to their children.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Junior, fail!
Yep, so that was a great clip from Red Tails, set in 1944. It's the war in Europe. You can hear that they're really taking a toll on the forces. The Pentagon has no recourse, they say, but to consider something a little unorthodox. And what they did was untested, untried African-American pilots. And that's what Red Tails is about. Some nice casting here. Brandon Jackson's in it, and Terrence Howard, you probably recognize his voice, and you've seen him in a ton of different things. He's one of the lead people in Red Tails, and there's a lot of action, a lot of fast movement in this one. Red Tails, by the way, is PG-13, so you could really take the whole family to it, and you heard the famous warning. It was there in that clip that Nick Saban talked about, you know, one bullet, one time, blah, blah, blah. And basically about not leaving a man behind. Haywire is an R-rated movie, and as I said, this was about operatives working for the government and then who's getting outed and what's happening, and I guess the surprise twist in that. And the first one is also PG-13, extremely loud and incredibly close. If you go to movies, enjoy.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each BioMat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a BioMat.
Ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand-cranked LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panels to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Are you still a traditional smoker?
Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
She's got a really long title. Are you ready? Senior Policy Analyst with Poverty and Prosperity at American Progress. I like that. Poverty and Prosperity. Joy, so the first question is, how do we get, this is the million-dollar question, how do we get rid of poverty in this country? It is so rampant. You know what I noticed about Washington, D.C.? Lots of homeless people. Friendly homeless people. I mean, not even really. I mean, I could say this because I grew up in Philly. I'm not being aggressive or mean, but I believe that they were truly, at least some of the people that I saw, they were down on their luck. They were homeless. How can we be in this nation and have this problem still to the level that it is?
Yeah, I mean, that is the biggest shame. We have a long road to go. We always want to be cautious, though, not to be too negative. I mean, there's been some progress. We've had people who have greatly benefited from our anti-poverty programs and are no longer poor, but still there are a number who aren't. And we're experiencing a big crisis now with not having enough jobs. And not having enough good jobs so that people can actually afford housing and other necessities of life. So this is the challenge. It's the challenge that, of course, we want to talk about and think about a lot more during this election season, because we should be asking our candidates, what are you going to do to make sure that we have jobs, that people are employed and good employment, and that they have good benefits with those jobs as well?
So that's the question, the jobs, and watching and seeing where the jobs are plentiful and where they're not. Are you seeing any certain trends?
Yeah. It's we're recovering.
Yeah.
It's a little bit slower than I think folks had anticipated, but it's definitely coming along. And each month we're adding new jobs, which is, we know we're moving in a positive direction. Certainly there are certain regions of the country that are suffering more than others, and the jobs aren't coming back and may not come back for a while. But we just got to be hunker down and find some good solutions and find ways to make sure that everybody is sharing in the recovery.
So what do you do? How do you do that? Because you're in the trenches, because you have the big title and you're out there trying to help people, and your name is Joy. We already said this is a positive name, and you know, you don't want to focus on the negativity. So what do you do to keep, you know, ringing the bell, trying to get help? What do you do?
So, I mean, our center in general is very concerned about how do we have the best possible recovery. I personally am spending a lot of time talking about and thinking about what happens when all else fails and we need a safety net, when people need, when they really can't find a job and they need unemployment insurance, they need food stamps, they need homeless assistance services. Hopefully it doesn't get that bad, but we do obviously have a growing number of people who have needed that in recent years. So that's really my focus, and that it becomes a challenge in and of itself in this environment where we're constantly talking about reducing deficits and cutting from the budget. Those programs are starting to suffer, and they're starting to face cutbacks, and we're seeing service providers having to do more with less when there is a growing population of people who need the help.
Yeah, what does it say to you when you have so-called middle-class people, because I hate labels, but let's just say middle-class people that are lining up on Thanksgiving at all of these places, shelters and whatnot, that are giving out food to get food, because it's not just that the other people's problem anymore. I think that people have this perception that, oh, that can't happen to me, and I'm not one step away from a disaster. No, 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 no. But now we're seeing that that's exactly what's happening in this country. Are you seeing that too? I mean, you probably have lots of stories about people that come in that they had a degree or they did this and the company failed or the husband died or the wife died. I'm sure you do.
I mean, certainly that is the case from when we talk to people who are at food banks, who are giving in other places where they're giving out free food, where there's homeless service providers. There's more and more families that have not been getting their services before. But the important thing is, remember, we always had people cycling in and out of poverty. Sure, there's a small number of people who stay there, but the history of it is that there have been people who have temporary bouts of poverty. They get help sometimes from government programs to help them get out. The new thing this time around is that it's so many people, and it started to affect higher and higher incomes of people. So our systems are stressed, and it's harder to get to do that churning, to get more and more people out.
Yep. So as you said, the key is when you have to take an axe to this crazy deficit we have, which all of us would agree on that. I mean, you know that, Joy. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Almost $17 trillion. So it's disastrous to keep going in that direction. You have to, it's like you're saying, okay, well, we have to protect this area because it is a cycle. And if we can get more people out of it, then maybe we clean up the budget altogether anyway. I mean, wouldn't that be the goal, that if you could have everybody off of food stamps, everybody off of aid, and turn their lives around? Isn't that ultimately the goal?
I 100% agree with you. I try to say this all the time. I think people are really concerned about how much we spend on entitlement programs. We don't want people to spend money on entitlement programs, and the way we do that is to make sure people have jobs and good jobs, and we can reduce our spending on entitlements. by spending a lot of times less money and getting them into proper employment opportunities. So I think, you know, that's exactly the way we need to be thinking about it. Let's reduce entitlement spending by getting people jobs.
Well, tell us some of the good stories. You say that there has been some successes. So let's hear the good stories that people that are listening to us in Ottumwa, Iowa, in Connecticut, in Lexington, Kentucky, in Dallas, Texas, they need to hear that. Mm-hmm. Tell us some good stories of what's working, what's happened.
Well, I mean, certainly we are seeing, from the minimal level, we're seeing, on a basic level, we're seeing a lot of people being able to take advantage of our safety net programs, like food stamps, to really get them through. Oftentimes, temporarily, we see that churning still, and they're able to do that, get the help that they need. And then we see, I think just in general, people being more concerned about their neighbors and being more charitable and trying to really think through these issues and ask some serious questions in their communities of their leaders at all levels, which is always important to do. Sometimes we're so focused, especially here in Washington, on national level politics. But obviously there are questions for people at every level. And so we need to be thinking about how do we make sure that our neighbors have what they need basically, but also how are we contributing to creating more jobs.
So isn't that true? So instead of staying in your house and maybe knowing a couple of neighbors, reaching out to somebody who needs help, hey, I need a ride, I can't get a car or whatever, then maybe also we wouldn't tax the system as much.
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't tax the system as much. But I think one thing that is certainly clear is that the system helps a lot of people and does it in the most consistent way possible. Because sometimes we can't rely on charitable contributions. Sometimes charitable contributions are not enough to fit the needs. So I think it's important to remember that government services are important, but we also, I think you're right to say, and I think I'm right to say, that neighbors and charity and helping our family, certainly in this time we've seen a lot of that, all of those things are important. There's no one solution. We have to piece it together, and I think that's something that we especially learn during these trying times is that we piece things together, we do the best that we can, and that we all should be mutually supporting each other, and that's the part of the good that comes out of it is that we develop a better understanding for each other and each other's struggles.
Now, in your role, have you, and here you are in Washington too, do you go up to the Hill a bunch? Do you talk to congressmen, congresswomen, senators on both sides of the aisle? Do you find, or are you trying to get more people involved in that, Republicans and Democrats?
We certainly try to talk to people on both sides of the aisle. Sometimes it doesn't always work, but we definitely try. A whole bunch of other people really want to see them get over these partisan divides and really solve the problems of our country. And that means, you know, not posturing for political elections. I know they also have concerns about fundraising for their campaigns, which is always an issue, but the partisan divide has to stop. So we all have to work on doing that and supporting that and making sure that happens. And we can do that as voters and as constituents.
How many people would you say right now are in that poverty circumstance? If you had to put a number on it, is there a number or is it tough to throw out a number?
So this year was a little over 46 million. So it's a lot of people.
46 million compared to a couple of years ago, it would have been less than that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's grown the last 2 years. So, and these were things that we would expect. It's something that happens during recessions. We see poverty go up. It's expected, but it's nonetheless, people like me hate to see the numbers, even though we know they're going to be there. So.
Right, because the goal is, as we said at the beginning, is, of course, to eradicate as much as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not fun when you're a poverty advocate and you're seeing the numbers go up.
Oh, boy.
In poverty, we're going the wrong direction.
Boy, no kidding. Joy Moses, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate it, and good luck in the fight on poverty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Emergency preparedness plans must include a fast way to start a fire. Fire up instantly with the revolutionary Quick Stove, a compact, lightweight, portable stove that's ready for cooking in less than 1 minute. Quick Stove, the safe, non-explosive fuel source that is an emergency preparedness essential. Quick Stove comes with four waterproof fuel cells that ignite in seconds, burn for up to 90 minutes each, can be lit and relit, and be stored indefinitely. At up to 18,000 BTUs, Quick Stove is ready to boil water in less than 5 minutes and burns hotter than most outdoor stoves. Now, the best part. Quick Stove starts at only $34.99 and comes with a 100% satisfaction or your money back guarantee. Order today at quickstove.com or call 801-784-0225. That's 801-784-0225 or go to quickstove.com. Click on the discounts tab for multi-unit savings. Quick Stove, quite possibly the world's fastest outdoor fire.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We're coast to coast, and I like to say the nooks and crannies. They're my favorite places, the nooks and crannies, even though I grew up in Philadelphia. I like the outlying areas. I always, always have. That's where the hidden gems are, I think, in this country. Eleanor Cliff joins us. It's always a pleasure to have her on the show. We talked to her last year, and we have her here again from Newsweek. You know her. You know her from the McLaughlin Group and a plethora of other things. Your resume is so long that if I read it off, the show would be over.
Okay.
That's a credit to you.
Well, thank you. And you gave the important IDs, and that's plenty.
There you go. So when we look at now where we are with health care, and it's 2 years, you know, we're going into the second year, enacted in 2010, I think that what happens to a lot of people is there's so many misconceptions out there. And you wrote about this, and you talked about this.
Aspects of the Health Care Act really don't get implemented until 2014, and that's when these health care exchanges get set up. People have realized some benefits from the health care bill. You can't get kicked off your insurance for a pre-existing condition. Kids can stay on their parents' policy till they're 26. But I think people have sort of absorbed that, and I don't know if they even connect that to the overall plan that's going to come into being. And because the critics have so assailed it, I think there's a lot of confusion out there. Mitt Romney claims it's going to cost $95 million, or maybe it's even billion, I don't know, a year. The Republicans are all campaigning on they're going to repeal it. I think that's going to be very difficult. So it's understandable that the public is quite confused about whether this is a good thing and what it means for them.
Yeah. Speaking of that, because you cover also, we're talking about health, but also the politics of it all. in reality, when you see what's happening with the Republican Party, are the Democrats really, really worried about who the Republican nominee is going to be?
Well, any Democrat who's lived long enough to see Ronald Reagan get elected can. I covered the Carter White House, and they said, oh, if Howard Baker is the nominee, we're really in trouble. That aging actor with the orange hair, is no way he's going to win. And, you know, Reagan, whatever you think of his politics, went on to become one of the great presidents of the 20th century.
Yeah.
So you never want, you know, once somebody gets the nomination, you can kind of think that they're not going to win. But life is funny. Politics is funny. So I think the Obama people are smart enough. They're not going to underestimate anybody who gets that nomination.
Yeah.
It looks like it'll be Mitt Romney, and it looks like it'll be a very flawed Mitt Romney.
Yeah, it's interesting because of, and you know this, and I've talked about this too, what's going on with Bain Capital, and he says he's a job creator, but if you dig deeper, no matter what your politics,
right,
really, in that position, you're destroying jobs and sending jobs overseas. It wouldn't take much reporting to dig up all those facts. In fact, Vanity Fair laid it out.
Right. Well, in 94, when Romney challenged Ted Kennedy for the Senate in Massachusetts, Romney was doing pretty well. Kennedy had kind of, you know, laid back a little. He thought that the seat was his. And he wasn't getting back and campaigning a lot. And so he got worried when he saw how Romney was doing. So what they did is they filmed some workers who'd lost their jobs because of Bain Capital, and that was the end of Mitt Romney in that race. But, you know, the core of his appeal is that he supposedly knows the economy better than anyone else, and he will create jobs. But we're learning more about his work, about his personal taxes, and at a time in our history where you do have the 99% kind of restive these days, what his tax returns are revealing are certainly, they're putting him on the defensive in the Republican primary, which is amazing. I think the Republican voters are probably not going to care as much about that as they do about his flip-flops on social issues, but it's all out there, and I think it really does tease him up for the fall and for the president's campaign to go after him.
But isn't that surprising, though? Because there's not dummies on the Republican side. Wouldn't they know to put something, is there just was nobody better to put up?
that is one of the main storylines out of this election season is why the heavyweights stepped aside, and you could put Jeb Bush in that category.
Yeah.
I don't know, Mitch Daniels, the governor of Indiana, because they all look much better until they actually get in the race. You know, Haley Barbour, governor of Mississippi, I don't think ever had a chance, but he's now considered, you know, one of the missed opportunities, and Governor Christie. New Jersey. And you still hear some people who know politics who think that somebody else could still come in. I don't see how that's possible unless the fight goes on long enough that Romney doesn't accumulate the number of delegates needed to win and it goes to the convention. It's every report is dream, brokered convention. Ron Paul would he's going to stay in. He's apparently not doing well in South Carolina, but he might, or Florida. But I guess there are some places where Libertarian strain is strong, and he'll have a bundle of Democrats delegates. I think it's unlikely that they're going to be able to come up with somebody else.
In same thing, where you've covered politics for so long, and like you say, you've watched and where people let their guard down, the Democrats, and then you saw what happened with Reagan, etc. Do you think we'll ever see Eleanor? Because people will call my show and they'll say, you know, I'm just tired of this whole log jam in Washington. I don't know everything that's going on, and I know it's complicated, but let's get a third party. Will we ever have a third party president?
Well, if Romney does pull out a win in South Carolina and then finishes it off in Florida, which is the end of this month, it'll be a long year ahead, and a race of Romney versus Obama is not going to get the ratings going. So there is a third party effort waiting in the wings, Americans Elect, and they're going to be on the ballot in every state. I'm not quite sure how they will end up or how they will find their candidates, because people, everybody can be a delegate. They'll sort it through who gets the votes, but they want somebody legitimate. Could Stephen Colbert, for example, qualify? I think they have a small group of elders, and that probably they wouldn't let a comedian hijack the process. But it's also fun to watch Stephen Colbert in South Carolina and poking fun at the fiction that the super PACs are really distinct from whoever they're supporting. I mean, the money that is flooding into the process this time really, I think, further distorts the process.
But isn't that the problem on both sides, too? Just in general in politics, saying
yes,
that?
I think there's too much money, but you'll always find somebody who says, oh, we spend more on dog food or cat food or potato chips or fireworks or something, as though that's a relevant analogy. And then you've got the Supreme Court saying money is the equivalent of speech. And so I don't see how you put this back, this toothpaste into the tube again. It's out.
Yeah, I agree with you. When we talk about what's important to Americans, and we're talking about health care and what people don't understand and the misconceptions because it's not all the way implemented, even though that was spelled out, I guess it clearly wasn't spelled out. So why didn't the Democrats get that message out stronger? Is it because they didn't have the outlets? Or
no, I mean, I really do fault the president and his team. I think when those town hall meetings happened in the summer of 2009, they didn't really understand how much was building on the other side and how much of it was focused on health care as this big government takeover. And then when Scott Brown won the seat in Massachusetts, and then they had to do all these deals to get the bill passed, then they got serious about getting the bill passed. And Nancy Pelosi once rather famously said, when you're baking the cake, you can't sell it. You know, you have to wait till the cake is fully baked or something to that effect. And by the time the cake was fully baked, there had been so much negative stuff out there that they were never able to overcome it. And then the 2010 elections came, and members of Congress ran away from it, the president ran away from it, and it's like they've parked it off, they're compartmentalizing it, you know, parked it off to the side. But if Romney's the nominee, I mean, he has his own health care issues. Romney Care, I think, was very good, and he ought to take credit. It's a major achievement, but he's walked away from it. But I doubt that, you know, that I think in that environment, I think the president's going to have to own up to the fact that this is his legislation. It's good, and I think history is going to view it as a major achievement for President Obama.
So wouldn't it be better to just get out and say, listen, our fault, we didn't give you all the details, or you missed the details somewhere along the line. Let's just tell you what it is. You go down the list. Here's what's coming.
Just start, I wouldn't even be apologizing. I would just put it out there and make a major push. I mean, why can't Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, she's a rather pleasing personality. I mean, she should be out there more. In fact, every member of the cabinet, that's another mystery about the communications of this administration. They haven't really used anybody. And so, consequently, the president doesn't really have any defenders out there making his case for him.
And what a difference that makes. Yeah. Eleanor, what a delight to talk to you always. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
I now shook her hand three times.